I want you to get your Bibles ready today. I want to talk to you out of my heart about something that's very, very important. I don't know about you, but I want to be more than a church goer. How about you? See, I became a Christian when I was 5. Now, you may not think a kid can make a decision for Jesus when they're 5, but I knew exactly what I was doing and why I was doing it. I will never forget when I made Jesus Lord of my life. I was 5. I remember when I was 8, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, now, Dr. Burrell, I don't believe in that Pentecostal stuff. That's okay. That's okay. But I still received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to believe that. That's up to me to believe. But I'm just telling you, if you've never experienced this, you need to. My dad was a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. You know, preacher's kids are supposed to be the meanest. I'm the sweetest, aren't I, honey? Yes, thank you. Praise the Lord. I remember preaching my first sermon on my 12th birthday. As long as I have been a Christian and been in the ministry, and nobody loves to preach as much as I do, I love to preach so much, I put a clock beside me right here, huge numbers, so I can see how late it's getting so you won't be here all day. The fact of the matter is, coming up, there were issues and there were questions and there were things that came up people wanted answers to, and sometimes, as a young person, I didn't know how to answer those questions. And especially for those of you that may live in homes where there are unbelievers. I'm not going to get you to raise your hand and identify yourself, but sometimes that can be the most trying place on the planet to live, is in a home with people that are unbelievers. How do you respond to them? First, I want to tell you, you, as a believer in your home, the Apostle Paul says this about your home. Don't think God can't bless it because people in your house don't live right. The Apostle Paul said, the believing person in the home sanctifies the entire house. Amen. Or that word means it sets it apart for God's blessings that they normally wouldn't get because there's a believer in the house. Did you know where you work? The same thing can happen where you work. The same thing can happen where you go to school. The same thing can happen in your neighborhood. Are you listening? So we as believers need to know how to respond. This past week, I really, really experienced it probably more than I have in the last little while, because the president was having his rally or his 4th of July celebration, and you heard all the stuff in the media. And I thought to myself, well, from what they're saying in the media, nobody's going to show up. Bam, they were wrong. It was so crowded, you could hardly move. The protesters were few in number, and when they tried to do something, the people that were pro the president just drowned them out. They didn't have a chance. There were folks that said, well, you know, God showed his disdain by letting it rain. No, you don't understand about rain. Rain feeds things. It doesn't destroy. And I'm not trying to get you to be for one person or another. I'm just telling you what was going on. The thing that moved me was the number of young people that were there. My wife and I talked to a young couple in their early to mid 20s that drove from Columbus, Ohio to Washington, D.C. just to be at that gathering, and they had to drive back that night because she had to pull a double shift at work the next day. It was amazing. There were people of all nationalities. One of the most moving things I saw was a mother from Asia had stooped down and was explaining to her little boy about the benefits of a republic as opposed to what they were used to. And when you hear a little mother in broken English explaining how a republic works to a little boy of about six, it moves you. It really moves you. It was an amazing time. We were standing looking at one particular exhibit, and this man just walks up to us and said, "Let me tell you what's been happening to me in this time." And for about 10 or 15 minutes, we stood there and just listened to him talk. I don't know why he chose us, but he just talked. We start out of the place, and one of the news organizations stopped us, and they didn't ask me what I thought about what was going on. They asked my wife. And you know, she doesn't do a whole lot of talking, but buddy, when they stuck the mic in front of her, she went off like a Gatling gun. And the reporter turns to me and says, "I got it from her. I don't need it from you. She said all need be said." But it was anointed. What is it you need to answer for people that are around you? If people ask you about your faith, if people ask you about why you believe what you believe, if people ask you about why you stand for what you stand for, what do you say? My wife is going through the lobby of the hotel we were staying at, and this little lady starts telling my wife some things that she had heard that were happening, that there were convoys and army tanks and all of that running around the city. And my wife stops and corrects her that none of that was true. We've been out there. Folks, just tell things that are not true and put it in the media. None of it was true. And the little lady just stands there and goes, "Oh, my dad would love you because he thinks just like that." But as she began to explain to her the truth, you could see it on her face. Oh, that's how it is. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says this. Everybody with me? Everybody with me? Because you see, we have things that we stand for because we're Christians, not because we're part of the Democrat Party. We have things we stand for because we're Christians, not because we're Republicans. We have things we stand for, not because we're independent. We have things we stand for because we are Christians. Read this with me. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? Read it out loud, would you please? Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, stop right there. It does not say even if you suffer. He's not talking about cancer, heart trouble, some terrible disease. He's talking about suffering for doing right. Doing good. Remember Psalm 37, do good. You'll suffer for doing that, he says. But even if you should suffer, read it, for what is right, you are blessed. Now see, the next part of this verse is in quotation marks. Do you know why it's in quotation marks? He's quoting Psalms. Read it. Do not fear their threats, Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always. What is that word?
Always.
What is it? Say it out loud.
Always.
Always. Read. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. The hope that Jesus is coming, the hope of doing good, the hope for our nation, the hope for my family, the hope that births faith in my heart. I'm going to be able to give them a reason. Watch, but he tells us how to do it. Read it with me. But do this with gentleness and respect. God does not get in somebody's face and scream at them. God does not take a sign and paint a sign and run up to somebody and shove it in their face. You do it with gentleness. You do it with respect. Read. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your what?
Good behavior.
He's warning you when you do good, they're going to attack you. Well, why do they always do that? Beef yourself up for it. It's going to happen. Folks are not going to stand around that are people who do evil and applaud you. Oh, that is so good. They're not going to kill babies anymore. That is so wonderful. Because you see, they claim it's their body. They can do what they want to with it. No. They are stealing from Jesus and making sacrilege what Jesus said when he said, "This is my body." Okay. He said, when you take communion, this is my body. And he says to Christians, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Your body is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Okay. So when they speak maliciously, read, against your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander. In other words, they're going to eventually feel bad about what they're saying about you. Everybody look this way. One of the ways that we are going to minister to people today is be ready to have an answer. Did you know the Pew Research Center did a study of the folks in America? The vast majority basically have conservative values. Watch this. When they were asked why they don't tell people they are conservative in their values, do you know what their answer was? I don't know what to say. Wow. When they ask those of the Generation Z, born between 1999 and 2015, when they ask those young people why they wouldn't tell anybody, they said, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. When they ask millennials why they wouldn't tell anybody, this is what they said. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. And I'm afraid I'm going to hurt somebody. I have a little problem with that because I think most young people are smarter than that. But at the same time, I think the church has failed in giving people the answers because we are so much in church just trying to tell everybody how to make it until next Sunday. So the first thing I have to do is I have to realize there are four things that have to happen if I'm going to give an answer. Are you ready for this? I want you to write them down. Four things if I'm going to give an answer. And I don't need to be afraid of what I believe. Now, here's where we run into problems. Well, just because you believe it that way doesn't mean everybody else believes it that way. Let me share a little something with you. Bubba right here, if he had his way, he'd drive 100 miles an hour everywhere he went. I think it's God's will for us to drive fast. I think the reason there's 120 on the speedometer or 140 on the speedometer is just to see if it'll do that. When I play guitar on amplifiers and on guitars, the volume goes to 10. I think 10 is the best number on the amp. That's just me. But do you know what? That's what I think. But when I get out here, especially when I'm coming into Dawson County, I can drive 65, but as you get close to the mall down here, it suddenly drops to 55. And if you don't do it, Bubba in the GSP car will turn his blue lights on and he will introduce you to the speed limit. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know the answers I'm giving you are based on Scripture because God's Word in my life is the final authority, and it's been that way all of my life. So if I'm going to give answers to people or if I'm going to speak, then the first thing I have to know is what does the Word of God say about this? Why am I going to do that? Because it is the final authority in my life. And I can't tell you, as a school teacher and as a professor, when I taught psychology, they would say, I want to know what you think. I don't want to know what the Bible says. I want to know what you... Do you think I'm nuts? Do you think the answer to the whole world in that book? I'm going to tell you what I think. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end is death. When I was going to school, I've told you before, working on my doctorate, one of my professors said, Burrell, when are you going to tell me what you think in one of these papers? I said, when I get my degree, after I know you're not going to grade it. Well, why are you going to do that? Because it's going to take that. I have to answer these things, but with the answers you want. So I'm going to know the Word of God. I'm going to know what it says. Secondly, I have to be maturely aware of the society I'm in. And I have to understand not everybody is going to understand the way Christians say things. However, people aren't that silly. Churches have made a terrible, terrible mistake of trying to accommodate everybody. Well, they won't understand. You know what? If you go... if you go to a rock and roll show, they're not going to tone it down if you don't like it loud. This is just really outlandish, but this will work. Please don't make this message public because they'll misunderstand. You better not go to these places. But there's no one goes to a strip joint and because somebody is offended by nudity, everybody in there puts their clothes on. Did everybody just get up and leave? Do you know what? The sign outside says, you come in here, there's going to be nude people on the inside. If it offends you, stay out. I'm saying, number one, I'm a Christian. I wouldn't go in there. But I'm just telling you, the world doesn't adjust for me. When I go to the Braves game, they're not going to go, hey, Burrell's here. He knows zero about baseball. Let's tone this down so he'll understand what's going on. Wow. Is this making any sense to anybody? You have to be aware of where you are. Be aware of the times. The Apostle Paul understood that. Thirdly, stay informed. Stay informed. Get the right information. Are you listening? Get the right information. Say it again. Get the right information. Say it again. Get the right information. Don't just focus on what. There are folks that will listen to one news outlet, or they will watch one comedian, and because that comedian says political things or says things about issues, they think that's true. They think that's right. A survey was done recently of young people, and do you know what they said? They said, I don't need to go to places to meet people because I have friends on my electronic device. I am friends with music industry leaders. I am friends with actors and actresses. No, you're not. They are not your friend. You are not friends if you go on Twitter and follow the president on Twitter. You are not his friend. You're just reading what he says. But these folks literally think they're friends. Wow. Stay informed. Know what's happening. Lastly, one of the problems that we have to deal with is even when you give right answers, not everybody's going to like the right answer. So be honest. Be honest about the way people respond. Let me tell you this. My dad helped me when I first started preaching. When I would preach, and there would not be a whole lot of people respond to the invitation to come to the Lord. And I remember after service one night, I went to the car and I was so down. And he said, son, what are you so down about? I said, just about nobody or nobody responded tonight. He said, that's not your job. Your job's not to get people to come to the Lord. Your job is to present the message. The Holy Spirit does the rest, and the people have to say to him, yes or no. They're not saying yes or no to you. So you need to get over this. A lack of response doesn't mean you didn't give the right message. Remember that in your marriage. When you say something to your wife that is right, it doesn't always mean she's going to go, oh, wonderful. Hallelujah. And it doesn't mean your husband, when you tell him the right thing, that he's going to go, oh, babe, you greatest thing that ever happened to me. I love you. I love you because you just tell it right. He's going to look at you and go, who do you think you are? You know you act just like your mama. You act just like your mama. Jesus said it like this. He said, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. There's never been a wolf that's going, hey, babe, how you doing? Fist bump. Wolf, she sees the sheep coming. He's going, lamb chops tonight, baby. Never, ever, ever. Jesus said, they hated me. They will hate you. And sometimes those folks will be in your own house. Well, Pastor, I just want to go to work and just testify to everybody. Here's how you testify to everybody. Do good. Do good. Do good. So if I'm going to give right answers, I've got to know the word. I've got to be maturely aware. And part of that maturity is this, that the Word of God does not specifically talk about every issue in society. Remember, there are things that are in context, and then there are things that are in what? Principle. Thirdly, stay informed. Know what's going on. Make sure your source of information is correct. Even be as careful as you are when you do Google Maps. Google, I want to go to such and so-and-so's house. Have you ever done that and it took you way out here and went around there? And you're going, well, what is it taking me out there for? Or, hey, taxi cab picked us up at the airport in DC, and they put us in the first taxi that came by, and we get in, and instead of going downtown DC, the guy starts going out of DC. And my wife has her Google map functioning, and she's going, sir, you know you're going further and further away, and the clock's ticking. And he goes, well, I really don't know where that place is. And you're driving your Uber or Lyft or a taxi. What is the matter with you? Well, how about you reading out the directions to me? I started to ask for a refund. Stay informed. And lastly, say it with me. Be honest about responses. Not everybody is going to be excited about what you say. They're not going to agree with you. They're not going to like it. They're not going to be excited about your answer because it won't be what they thought it was. Has this helped anybody at all? Amen. Know the word. Be maturely aware. Don't get offended at everything that goes on. Stay informed and be honest about responses. I want you to stand, please. Well, Pastor, this hasn't told me how to have power over the devil and tread on serpents and scorpions. Luke chapter 10. Read it when you get home. Jesus sends out 72 and he says, listen, not everybody's going to like what you say. Not everybody's going to like what you do. In fact, he says, don't heal the sick in cities that don't receive you. Did you know he said that? He said, if they don't receive you, just turn around and say, hey, even the dust on the bottom of our shoes tells you the truth anyway, and leave. But if they receive you, then heal the sick and tell them the good news. Not everybody's going to like it, and stop trying to convert everybody to the way you think. Convert them to Jesus. Not to your way of thinking. convert them to Jesus, and then their mind will be renewed, and then their thinking will change. Wow. I know the Lord laid this on my heart, and I just want to tell you, if we're going to be effective in this world, we're going to have to learn that even though you have the right answers, not everybody is going to respond in a way you're going to like. Wow. I want you to bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, the Word of God says that a wise man listens, he thinks, and then he responds. Then there are times, the Word of God says, that the Holy Spirit will come down and give us the right answer. But those are in special situations. But we need to know your Word. We need to be mature about the times. We need to be well informed. And Father, we don't need to let people's responses and reaction shake us and upset us. I pray for everyone in this house. If there is one here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, may they make him Lord of their life right now by simply saying, Jesus, I've heard your word is the final authority. I've heard that you died on the cross for me and that God raised you from the dead. I believe you're alive right now. I determine in my heart to follow you. Father, today, may they do as Jesus said, repent and be baptized. That means, Father, not pray a prayer, but change the way you live in. Change the way you do things. Psalm 37:3, trust the Lord and do good. That's what we want to do. Father, I thank you that you touch everyone here and strengthen them and meet every need in their life. And we have all today determined to follow you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Wonderful week. Bless everyone on your way out. God bless you.
Thank you for joining our service today. If you'd like to donate, we have many ways for you to give. You can text Zion and the amount to 73256, visit us online at zionca.org, or send by mail to Zion Christian Assembly, 258 Beartooth Parkway, Suite 130, Dawsonville, Georgia 30534. For more resources and information on our church, visit zionca.org.